I spoke of a time when memories from his past dredged up fear. And out of a sense of self-protection, his psyche began feeling and thinking all sorts of negative things about this woman, this teacher. But like the Buddha, Tai made a choice. And it was a choice to have compassion. Last week, we talked about connection as one of the components of courage. And Tai did not seek compassion alone. He called on the earth, the Buddha, the God, the goddesses, anyone who could help him have compassion. And this is courage, to reach out in connection, to find what we need, to find compassion. Now that it is February, our theme has shifted, and this month we are focusing on our second UU principle, our second of our seven principles, that we affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. I think it's pretty amazing that these three words got linked together in the writing of our second principle: justice, equity, and compassion. I think when I hear the word justice, I think it's easy to hear only the kind of justice that is social justice warriors, you know, with our aggressive call-out culture. If you don't have the right idea, the perfect idea of everything, then you get called out for not being woke enough. But that's not how our second principle uses the word justice. It links justice with compassion. We've been talking about courage these last several weeks in our six-part series on the six C's, the letter C of courage. First, we talked about curiosity, having curiosity, wondering about the thing that we're afraid of. Tai did this in seeking compassion for the teacher at his sesshin. Why am I having all these negative feelings? It's the curiosity. And then we talked about the second C, clarity, seeking to understand things the way they really are, not the way we wish they were. And this is helpful both in personal courage, finding courage to do things in our own lives, as well as finding courage to address big things like systemic racism or climate change. It's real. It's clearly there, and we need to cultivate the courage to face it and to make change. Last week, we talked about connection, connecting first to your own values. It's hard to have courage if you're not connected to your own values, and then connecting to each other so that we might find that courage. There's no need to go it alone. In fact, as we talked about last week, our UU faith calls us to be in community so that we can do better together. And that brings us today, our fourth C, compassion. When we think of courage, we have talked about this image of the knight in shining armor, covered in armor with a gleaming sword, sallying forth to save the person from the fire-breathing dragon. But each week throughout this series, we have been countering this image of the knight, exploring courage instead as something deeper, a strength found in honesty, vulnerability, and love, taking off that armor. Compassion is not wimpiness. Compassion is not being a pushover. It's not saying it's okay to harm me. But compassion is strength to love when love is hard. I think of our song that we sang this morning, our hymn of the month, "I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find." Our second UU principle says that we promote justice, equity, and compassion. We cannot promote justice, which we talk about and we want to do. We cannot promote justice if we do not have compassion for those who are affected by the injustice, if we do not see ourselves in their pain. Justice making is not about being a savior It's not about being a knight in shining armor with a sword of wokeness. It's about seeking connection with those who are affected, a compassionate connection that leads to that courageous fight for change. I was so excited when I found the litany of wholeheartedness that we read together during the Wonderbox time, not only because it allowed me to finally put a snake in the box, that was so fun. The first service, when Tyson opened the box, he's the boy who says snake every single week, the entire sanctuary burst into cheers. Everyone was like, finally! It was so sweet. But beside the snake, I also loved Reverend Cooley's connection between compassion and heart. We've talked a lot during this series about the fact that the word courage comes from the same word as heart, core, like coronary. The original meaning of the word courage wasn't so much as what we currently use it as. It really just meant to speak from the heart. Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard to access and then speak and act from our heart? Why is it hard to be wholehearted? Reverend Cooley's litany gets at why it can be hard, and so I want to look at that litany again more closely. She says, because there have been times when shame has crushed our ability to be wholehearted. Ah, oh, shame. Shame is debilitating. I have talked in sermons about the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt can be uncomfortable, but it can also be motivating if we let it. Guilt is feeling bad about something that you've done or not done. It's that little voice that says, ooh, maybe I hurt that person's feelings and maybe I should apologize. That's a useful thing. Guilt is useful. It is as we say to our three-year-old, making better choices, right? That's what guilt is. But shame is different. Shame is embedded. Shame often comes from our early life, from childhood or youth, messages that we got that are about who we are at our core. Our UU faith calls us to a place beyond shame, a place that truly acknowledges the all-loving nature of our universe, the universe that some people call God, that love that permeates each one of us, that love that gives us each worth, true worth, and the awareness that you are enough, just as you are. You are enough. You are worthy, and you are so loved. Now, letting go of that shame, it's not easy, but it is a step in becoming wholehearted. Let's respond as we did earlier. We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. The litany goes on, because we have not always had the courage to be imperfect. There it is, courage. We have not had the courage to be imperfect. Call it imperfection, call it vulnerability. Our world says we must always get it right. Everything. Or don't bother at all if you're not going to get it right. But true courage says try. Try. Try, fail. Sometimes you're going to fail, but then try again. Let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Because we have struggled to have compassion for ourselves and for others. Ty, in his story, told us about a time he sought compassion for someone else, for his teacher, but also for his mother. and in finding compassion for both, found compassion also for himself, for his own feelings, his own reactions. I personally find it much easier to have compassion for other people than for myself. I don't know about you, but I admit to you, and it takes some courage to admit this, that I really struggled writing this sermon. Because I don't know if you remember this, but we had a giant snowstorm this week and then a polar vortex, and our kids were home all week, and that makes things like working really hard to do. And then on top of all of that, I got sick. Not like a little sick, I got really sick. And I'm actually still sick. Don't worry, I'm okay. But I needed to be honest with you about the fact that even amongst all of that, I was mad at myself for not getting my sermon done sooner. Why? Because I struggled to have compassion for myself, for my mortal human body, for my reality as a full-time working mom. Have any of you ever struggled with self-compassion? Or recognizing that you have limits and honoring them? I just want you to know that you're not alone. It took me a long time, but finally I said, "It's okay, self, just go take a nap. Let your husband take the 3-year-old out to go play so you can get that sermon done. It is okay. You are worthy, even though you don't feel good." Let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Because we want to be wholehearted people, confident in our worthiness and our belonging. There it is again, confident in our worthiness and our belonging. The root of compassion is an awareness of our own and other people's worthiness. This, again, calls us back to our universalist ancestors who taught us that God, the universe, loves us no matter what. That, as our first principle says, we have inherent worth and dignity. The Reverend Emily Gage reflects on our second principle, the justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and she writes that the second principle expands on the first. Our first principle is the one that we all know. It's the easy one to remember. And it says that we each have inherent worth and dignity, and that's really, really important. But she says the second one takes it just a step further. She writes, quote, "Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations point us towards something beyond inherent worth and dignity. It points us to the larger community. It gets at collective responsibility. It reminds us that treating people as human beings is not something we simply do one-on-one, but something that has systemic implications and can inform our entire cultural way of being." End quote. Because we want to be wholehearted people, we must seek compassion for ourselves and for others. We must honor the inherent worth and dignity in each of us, but then we must go beyond that to the connection that we talked about last week, to the larger community, which then leads us to justice. We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. Compassion for ourselves, for others, for the world, gives us the grounding and strength to be wholehearted, to be courageous. May we all call on the earth, on the Buddha, on God, on Jesus, on each other to help us, to give us the strength to avoid perfectionism, to honor our limits, to connect to each other, to remember our deep worthiness and the worthiness of each one of us, and to find compassion together as we cultivate courage. May it be so. Amen.